Ezekiel 22. Again, you can learn a lot about yourself by looking at Israel in the Old Testament. We can learn a lot about God by looking at His relationship with Israel in the Old Testament. I thank God for 66 books in a Bible. I don't just thank God for Paul's epistles, and I don't just thank God for Matthew through Revelation. I thank God for Genesis through Revelation. Your walk with God would be very lame without an Old Testament. Your knowledge of God would be very limited without an Old Testament. Your fear of God would be perverted without an Old Testament. God gave us this Bible. I believe this book is God-breathed. I believe He breathed the commas where they are. I believe He put the verse markings where they belong. And anybody that doesn't believe, that's fine. You know, they can believe what they want, but if they get to heaven, they'll believe it. I believe that. Amen. I believe the book. I believe the cover. It says Holy Bible. Now, if you've got an NIV and it says Holy Bible, I don't believe that cover. But I believe the cover on this one. And I believe God has something for us. He always does in the Word. And I'm going to go ahead and pray again before the Lord deals with our heart today and ask Him to bless the message. Father, we come to You as a needy people. We need You to show up and breathe on this message. And Lord, it doesn't have to be enticing words, or it doesn't have to be fancy speech. It just has to be something You do, something You work through. I know Your words are majestic words. They're beautiful words. They're magnificent words, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And they do what You've set them forth to do. Lord, help us to have receptive hearts today, and to take the truth that You give us, or the truths, with us through the day and through each and every day until You call us home. Bless us. Breathe on this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning in verse 23, says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shewed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening prey. They shed to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." The first thing I want to notice here in verse 25, it says, "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof." That conspiracy, there is a conspiracy to do evil in this passage. And what we have today in this world, in the so-called churches, is a conspiracy to do evil. The devil has more churches on the face of this earth right now at this moment than God does. There's not a doubt in my mind, and you could go to if they still have phone books, you could go to one and find out real quick that there aren't many real churches left. If you go to the websites, which I'm sure 99% of them have a website or a Facebook page, and you can read what they believe and what they teach and preach, you're going to find out there aren't many real churches left. When you find out what Bible they use, they don't even have a Bible. A lot of them don't even care to pretend they have a Bible. A lot of them just soon preach out of good housekeeping, amen, because they despise the Word of God. There's a conspiracy to do evil. It talks about these priests and these prophets, and it's all about themselves. I remember hearing a story of a man up in Toledo, and he's got a big church up there. He started a big church, him and his buddy, and it's two or three of the biggest churches up there. And I don't even know if they're still in existence after the China virus and all that stuff, but here we know that they started these churches. And I talked to a fellow that knew the guy before he began pastoring his church, and he said, I was talking to this guy, and the guy said, you know, there's some money in this church thing. I ought to start one. So he started a church. And what they're doing is they're playing church, and they're damning people to hell. They're playing church, and they're raising up the folks that are saved. They're raising up a bunch of weak-kneed sissies because they don't get the Word of God. They get all this prosperity baloney because there's a conspiracy to commit evil. When a man will stand in front of a church and in front of an assembly, in front of people that are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he'll stand there and he'll look them in the eye and he'll say, you are so good. You are so precious. And God is so dependent on you. And if you will just put your love offering in the plate, God will bless you a millionfold. If you'll bless the preacher, God will bless you. And if you'll be good to the man of God, then God will dump out His blessing. That's wicked. It's evil. It's a lie. There's a conspiracy to commit evil in this world. It's not just at the White House. It's at the church house. We look around and you don't know what to believe about anything. And here we are, you know, this microscopic killer that's flowing through the earth. And every time you hear something about it, you hear something different right before and right after. And the doctors will tell you one thing, another doctor will tell you another thing, the politicians will tell you something else. And then you find out that the politicians are in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies are in bed with the media companies, and the media companies are in bed with Microsoft, and all the stuff that's going on because there's a conspiracy to commit evil. And it shouldn't be in the church house. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shewed the difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. There's a callousness about the things of God. We had the Lord give us a message here 3 or 4 weeks ago about just do right. And the truth is, I'm going to go back to that message for just a minute because people don't know what right is anymore. And again, I'm going to revisit this issue because I think it's good for us to realize that if we don't read our Bible, we will know no difference between right and wrong. You see, well, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. The lost person down at the grocery store, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. And lost people do what lost people do. Oh, well, they're lost. They don't know right. But what a shame for blood-bought, born-again believers to not know what right is. When God has given you a righteous book about a righteous Savior and a commandment to be holy. Say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. That's not for the church age. That Bible commands us to be holy as He is holy. Amen. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you won't be able to say, well, you never told me to be holy. Because you'll say, well, guess what? He knows the chapter and verse. Because He wrote the book. But there's a callousness against the things of God. People just don't care anymore. Here we are smack dab in the middle of Laodicea, and people are running around. I remember when my boy first started working, he'd get that rake out. Boy, we'd go doing lawn care, and he'd get that rake out, and his hands would bleed. And you know, mamas are good people. They look and they're like, oh, honey, you know. And dads are like, ah, suck it up. But eventually, between the mom's love and the dad's toughness, they get calluses. And they're able to take some stuff. Amen. That's what God does to us in a good way, but the world's done it in a bad way. Even blood-bought, born-again believers are callous against the things of God. They don't understand why they do what they do. They're going through a tradition. They're going through a church. This is what we do. This is what we've always done. They don't understand why they put money in the plate. They don't understand why they pray. They don't understand why they read their Bible. They do it because, if they do it at all, they do it because that's what they've always done. But this book is our sustenance. This is a holy, majestic gift from Almighty God. And when you crack open the pages of this book, you're not looking into just your old man and to the new man. You're looking into eternal things. You've got something in your lap today that is more precious than anything in this entire world. And people are just callous. They don't care. I had a guy the other day say, well, you know, I kind of rib him about that King James AV 1611 thing. And he said, I asked him, what about the new King James? And look, I'm not going to sit there and teach Bible lines to a guy I met on the street, right? So I said, you know what? I said, I heard a preacher say this one time. I said, a guy told him, what about you think of that new King James? And he looked the guy in the eye and said, you haven't even read the old one yet. And the guy looked at me, and you could see the guilt that he'd never read the old one. He's not qualified to talk about the disagreement between the Bibles if he's never read one of them. If he had a King James, a new King James, an NIV, an NASV, an RESPECT, whatever he had, and he never read it, how can he justify talking bad about one or talking good about the other? He don't even know what they say. Amen. It's ridiculous. They're callous against the things of God. It used to be that anywhere you went in the United States of America, you'd run into people that feared God, lost or saved. Now you can't find people that fear God in the church. Amen. Let us say the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then you get these nuts out there, and they get a Bible education, and they start telling everybody their doctor who's it, and doctor knows it all, and then the next thing you know, they're telling people, well, you know, actually in the Greek, the word fear just means respect. And then you can take them to the Bible, and it says here, where's my honor, where's my fear? You know, honor and respect are real close. Fear is different. You fear somebody, you'll honor and respect them. Amen. But they're different. Yep. Right. Oh, love's charity. It's the same thing that King James Bible. No, love is not charity. Right. Charity is the outworking of love. Charity, where do we get the word charity? Why do we have a Goodwill? Why do we have a Salvation Army? Why do we have a Red Cross? I know it's all messed up now. Mm-hmm. But the reason they started, because they gave without an expectation of return. That's charity. Amen. It's true love. Charity happened on Calvary.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And it should happen in the heart of a believer. But people are callous about the things of God. They become so hardened. Like Pharaoh, who is God that I should obey Him? Look at 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. That's the IRS right there, amen. And have vexed the... Oh, this is going on there too, and they'll probably listen. Oh, well. And have vexed the poor. Robert, you shouldn't say that stuff. Have vexed the poor and needy. What was the last 4 years social again? No, I'm just kidding. Have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Conspiring to do evil, callous about the things of God, that is downright carnal. You know what that says? It's all about me. I don't care who I run over to get what I want. I don't care who I walk on. I don't care who I forget about. I don't care what bridges I burn. I don't care anything about getting what I want. Because the entire world, 95% of it, is turned into a bunch of 3-year-old brats. And it's not just the lost people. Do I think everybody out there that's preaching today is saved? No. But I think there are a lot of saved people out there that are preaching a lie. Amen. Amen. They're carnal. And we don't have to name names. Y'all can put a face on it. I mean, these things will fit a lot of different people. But I've heard them talking about needing a second jet for their ministry. Oh, we needed that second jet for our ministry. What if the first one goes down? Because you're so important. I mean, if you didn't show up somewhere, the whole world would probably just turn inside out. When the truth is, and we've got the other side, which I believe is the right side, that if God wants you somewhere, He'll get you there.
Right.
Amen? If He gives you a 10 speed and tells you to go to Hawaii, you'll probably make it. He'll get you there. But you got a bunch of people that are so carnal that they'll stand up in front of a congregation or talk to the news media and say, yes, I do believe God sanctioned that second jet. God wanted me to have that and my 14 mansions. And you know what? That's wicked. And that's sad. But let's bring it down home. How about born-again believers that just live for the world? They're more concerned about their bank account than they are Psalm 119. Amen. They're more concerned about what their neighbors think about what's parked in their driveway than they are what the Lord knows is in their heart. Carnal. Envy, strife, and division. Nobody can get along anymore. We talked before, and I'll say it again. I love that analogy because it's so true. A Baptist church split, you get new Hope Baptist Church splits, you get new Hope Baptist Church. It splits, you get no Hope Baptist Church. It does. It just starts getting further and further away from the truth. I know some folks that are going through it right now. I mean, they're going through it. Big church, new pastor. People are running like roaches. You know why? Because they never learned how to love each other. I don't disagree. I disagree with that. I had a guy tell me, well, what do you think of this, that, and the other? You wouldn't believe what this guy's doing. I said, you praying for him? He said, well, you won't believe. He brought it on himself. I said, are you praying for him? Well, it's his fault. He knew, but he should have known. Are you praying for him? Amen. That's how you end up at No Hope Baptist Church. Not praying. See, we're in this thing together. But people are so carnal. Envy, strife, and division. You know, to me, it's not because of the man, it's because of the office. The office of pastor needs prayer. Oh, good night. This one definitely does, because God got the wrong guy. Amen. God said, you know that verse about confounding the wise with foolish things? I'm going to share that with you. Amen. I'm going to go to the circus and I'm going to find Bozo the Clown. Amen. I'm going to give him a Bible, put a little bit of knowledge in there. And if he seeks wisdom, we'll use him somewhere, like Balaam's donkey. Amen. But then you got a bunch of people that just are leaving a church that God had blessed for 40-some years because they don't agree with everything. You see, the problem was, in their carnality, they got into a tradition. They got into a routine. They weren't following God anyway. They were following a man. And when God brought them a new man and the new man had some new ideas, it never entered a lot of their minds that maybe God was in that. Because a church, just like a life, goes through seasons. There's a beginning. There's growth and struggle. And there's a mature church. And that mature church never quits maturing until God calls us out of here. But see, they're so carnal, they don't realize that. Conspiring to do evil. Callous toward the things of God. Carnal. Look at verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them and have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. They're consumed. Why? You see, they were conspiring to do evil. They were callous and they were carnal. No, they weren't. That's not why they're consumed. Read verse 30 again. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And God looks down here at the churches and He can't find a man. We didn't lose a man. We had a man graduate. And I thank God for the men and women of this church that'll make up the hedge and stand in the gap. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can relax. If you're over 50, you can relax for just a few minutes. I'll get back to you. But I'm going to tell you something. You young men, you're going to have to learn how to grow your faith in that word. And you're going to have to learn how to pray. And you're going to get some, you have to get some grit. You men are going to need the Lord in these days more than I could have ever imagined saying. This world is, if this isn't Sodom and Gomorrah or worse, if this isn't the days of Noah, I don't know what is. But if God doesn't call this church out of here in the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to need some men to stand in the gap. To make up the hedge. Jerry and I used to talk about that, about who we're passing the torch to. Not just about numbers. We're talking about the makeup of the men that we'll pass the torch to. Because you know what happens? You commit to truth to faithful men. And they're faithful. But then they become strong in their own eyes and weak in the Lord. And they begin to compromise. And it's one or the other changes first. It's either the Bible or the music, but they're connected. Will change. And you no longer have the Word of God. You'll no longer have the music of God. And eventually you no longer have the presence of God. These people were not destroyed for the conspiring, for being carnal and being callous. They were destroyed because there was nobody to stand in the gap. Nobody to stand in the gap. Laodicea at its finest right here. The pinnacle of self-righteousness and selfishness. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If you're here today and you're under 50 years old, you better pray every day. You better read your Bible every day. And I'm not just talking about putting in your time in 10 chapters or 10 verses. I'm talking about getting on your face and asking God to give you food from this book. To give you strength from His Word. To guide you by His Spirit. Now look, I'm not turning Baptist-costal. I'm about half Baptist-costal anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not being led by the Spirit, you're not being led by God. I'm not talking about pookie poo and all that funky stuff they want to get up there and pretend to do or do under the influence of the devil. I'm talking about this book is spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are true, they are life. This book is spirit. If you're not following this book, you're not following the Spirit. And if you're following some spirit that don't match up with this book, you're not following the Spirit of God. And you better know the difference. I'll do the best I can to help you while I'm here, but when God calls me home, if He leaves you here, you better be able to pray. You better be able to study. You better be able to get on your face and cry out to God. You better be able to put your faith where it belongs. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You better be able to turn to God and say, Lord, I need that manna from heaven. Send the ravens to feed me in this wicked world where nothing's going right. Or He'll be able to look down here and say, well, can't find a man to stand in the gap. Well, then he'll just use a woman preacher. No, he won't. The devil just lies that way sometimes. God used women in this Bible better, greater and greater ways than He did 99% of the men in this book, but He didn't call them the pastor of church. Oh, these bozos asked me in the jail, you know, what about this one in the Old Testament? Well, it's the Old Testament. It wasn't even the church age. She wasn't the pastor of No Hope Baptist Church. She could have been. She was qualified for No Hope. But God uses people in different areas, different ways, and He called men to pastor a church. You know what else? He called men to be men. Amen. I don't care what Michael or Brock say. Amen. He called men to be men. He called women to be ladies. Amen. I tell them. I see them in Walmart, and they look like a lady. I'm so surprised, I have to comment on it. Amen. I'm like, it's good to see somebody dressing like a lady. You must be a Christian. Amen. Now, if they're in the military and they're wearing military fatigues, that's one thing. But you ought to be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman. Amen. I'm not saying women can't wear pants. I say women should be modestly dressed, like the Bible says. That's what the book says. You know, if a woman's got a dress on so tight you could read her DNA sequence, that's not modest. I don't care if it goes all the way down and covers her shoes. Amen. She can cover her shoes and twist her hair up like a honeybee nest and still be carnal. Amen. Oh, men, that word's thrown around too loosely anymore. Male, I'll go. Male, yeah, we can figure that out real quick. Birth certificate, brief anatomy scan, whatever it takes. We can figure out if you're male. But God's going to make a man out of you. If you let Him. If you let Him. He says, "And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." It is sad. Because the devil wants to raise up a bunch of sissies to play church. To hide in a building. Pretend like everything's all right. While the world goes to hell. And God says, "I'm looking for a man." If you're here today and you're 50 or over, I praise God for the men that will stand in the gap. I thank God that we have a good, solid church of people that love the Lord, that want to do right. But my heart breaks thinking that we might not have men to stand in the gap 20 years down the road. You need a safe space, and that safe space is in the Word of God. Amen. "I need a hug, Mommy." That's good when you're 3. But when you're 43, you ought to be able to go to the Word of God. Amen. I hope nobody in here is conspiring to do evil. I hope nobody in here is callous against the things of God. And I know that we struggle with carnality. But I hope you understand that the battle's worth fighting. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 will always be in the Bible. "There's no temptation taking you such as common to men." God will give you a way out. Not only will He give you the way out, He'll give you the strength. It's up to you. If your birth certificate says M on it, you're male. But it's up to you and God whether you're a man. Who are we going to pass the torch to? For those of you under 50 years old, pray. Read your Bible. Develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when He takes you through the storms, lean on His bosom like John. And trust Him to fight your battles. And only swing the sword when God says to swing it. Amen. Because He's looking for men. They'll make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And the gap just got a little bit wider. A little bit wider. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, You've been so good to us. Lord, help us, those of us over 50, to continue and end well. And Lord, for those younger folks, to realize the gravity of the battle, the necessity of Your Word, the necessity of a real prayer life and a real walk with You. And Lord, help us to be good examples to those younger men, as Brother Jerry was, on how to finish well. And Lord, if You call us out here all together, praise Your name. If You take us out one at a time, praise Your name. But Lord, strengthen us for the days ahead. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.